Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Well, my thinking is, really, I've thought about this a lot as an educator. I spent a lot of time with a lot of people.
It's the quest to be clever. I completely forgot about the people that I love.
You know, look at this guy. How far has he fallen? I mean, two years ago, we were talking about him being in the White House. Yeah. Now they're talking about his physical endowment.
Yeah, something like that.
World-famous Phil Hendrick Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, here from El Pacifico. I hate to rub it in, and I ain't rubbing it in, Washington, Philly, New York, and other great, 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 iconic American cities. But, man, the weather out here has been nice. Sarah Palin is accused of racism for calling Obama a professor, plus Doug Danger weighs in on the most romantic songs of all time this hour on the world-famous Phil Hendrick Show. Billboard magazine, I think, has published their list of the most romantic songs of all time. And because people like lists, and there have been books of lists, and in fact, there's a Rick's list now. Is that Rick?
Yeah, Rick Sanchez. We're going to get him on a show, or maybe we won't.
What does that mean, we're going to get him on the show, maybe we won't?
Well, we call him up, but I don't know.
Well, he better come on, because, you know, he was on Twitter talking to me like he thought I was, you know, Phil Hendrick, and I said, yes, I am, but then I said something smart-ass about somebody over there, and then he decided that I wasn't the real Phil Hendrick. So what can I do? 877-876-PHIL, and there's other stories in the news that are so unbelievable for me, and they break all records. They just break all records. I don't even want to call it hypocrisy, because I don't want to call people names, and I know why these things happen. We were just talking during the break, and we said, you remember last year we were on the show and we were saying, boy, Obama, he really needs to kick some ass and fire some people. And Rance just told me, he said, that's the word now. They're going to fire a few people over there in Washington. They're going to fire a whole bunch of guys. Obama's finally up to his nose with the stink of that group, and he's going to fire as many of them as he can. Now, he should have done that back even before he got elected, the way these guys were butchering the transition and the goodwill that was spilled out into the sands of time, just spilled right out, and the crap can way that Emanuel did his job, the way that Pelosi, she couldn't get anything done, man. If you gave her all day and all the money in the world and all of the, you know, all of the help she could possibly want, and Reid butchered it, and gradually by the summer, by the end of the summer, Barack Obama was done. He was done as the great savior, as a man with a great popularity in the polls. Now, I like the guy. I admire him. And I do believe him when he says he's not an ideologue. I think it's easy to laugh. And I think that, frankly, I've heard a lot of people calling him a socialist, and I haven't seen any proof of that either. You want some proof of global warming, which I don't see? I'd like some proof of Obama being a socialist, and don't give me this bull crap about who he hung out with in college. And you better be ready to back up, and I mean back up, the claim that he's a socialist because he believes that taking over the banks, this is a fantastic thing, and taking over the auto business, that's great, and that's what he wanted to do all the time. There isn't a human being within the sound of my voice, not anybody walking upright, that can prove that. Now, I know there's all kinds of people who sit around with a couple of keggers and, you know, about eight of their friends in the kitchen, and they say, well, the guy's a socialist, you know, because... And this redistribute wealth, I'm telling you, folks... I can't believe sometimes what I hear. This morning, I'm listening to Morning Joe. Now, Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough, this is a really stupid man. Honest to God, he's incredibly stupid. But I can't believe that he invites on people even dumber than him. He has somebody on from NBC, and he's asking them, well, do you believe that Obama is a socialist? Oh, yeah, I really do. He's redistributing the wealth. This is the new phrase, redistribution of wealth. That's what he wants to do, see. It has nothing to do with the fact that we're in very, very difficult economic times, and he's got people screaming and crying, you know, like they're stuck under a gate about this stuff. Yeah, he's going to redistribute the wealth. Hell, we could be in the fattest times in the history of this country. He's going to redistribute the wealth. Have they got proof of this? Is there anything really in the course of events that we've seen, in the events as they have unfolded, in the emergencies that have presented themselves, is there anything in any of that that proves anybody's a socialist? What proves that perhaps someone is a socialist is when you take times that are not necessarily distressed and you say, well, here's how I'd like to sculpt things. Let's... All right, now, the next thing that's really driving me out of my mind was, and you know what, I knew this was going to happen. I don't know why I'm surprised. I didn't know it would be on the lips of Biden, though. But hey, we also called that one. Let me tell you the ones we called. Biden was a mistake. We were right. Palin was a mistake. We were right. We were right. Obama would be far more pragmatic on the issues of Iraq and Afghanistan than the anti-war people would like him to be. We were right. Gibbs Robert is a flustering douchebag. We were right. Obama would hold out the hold open the possibility of Guantanamo staying open and having tribunals continuing down there. We were right. That he'd piss off Democrats. We were right. That he'd piss off the anti-war left. We were right. We said all this stuff, man, and the guy wasn't even sitting in the Oval Office yet. You want to know about Obama? Listen to me. You know, if you want to know about the country, listen to me. I'm listening to every one of these guys. There's not a one of these jackasses getting anything right, including this clown Matthews who says that Obama's campaigning for something and he can't figure out what that is. Are you high on a mixture of chemicals, Matthews? Obama's the only guy that can campaign for anything. There isn't anybody in the Democratic Party that has any kind of a voice, any kind of a position, any platform. There isn't one Democrat that the American people are going to sit and listen to for longer than 3 seconds other than Barack Obama. Not one. That's how unbelievably these people have laid the egg on this thing. Can you believe that? Anyway, here it is. On Larry King Live last night, while Larry sat there and just let this spill out of our vice president's mouth, Vice President Joe Biden said Iraq could be one of the greatest achievements of this administration. At the briefing today, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs was asked about Biden calling Iraq one of the great potential achievements of the Obama administration, given that Biden had previously advocated the country should be divided into thirds, which he did. Obama opposed the surge, which he did. Biden went over there, I think, and met with the prime minister of Iraq, and it looked like he was sitting in the middle of a bathroom that someone had just used. I mean, the look on his face. In January 2007, then Senator Obama said he was not persuaded that 20,000 additional troops in Iraq is going to solve the sectarian violence. And not only that, folks, you know that our president was opposed, ultimately, to the invasion of Iraq. Now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, here is Biden saying this is going to be an Obama administration achievement. And we've got Gibbs standing in front of the press corps for all of this horse dung about bipartisanship. He is very quick to steal like a thief, like a thief. Steal from the Bush administration and backpedal and backfill for the Obama administration. Reasons and highlights and so forth having to do with Iraq. You will hear him say in this soundbite, for instance, that maybe he won't be saying this, or maybe he will, but I heard him say today, you know, we'll be debating long into the future the reasons for the Iraq war. We'll be debating whether it was a good thing or a bad thing. Is that right? Because your boss didn't think it was a good thing. He goes so far as to say that it was broken and the Obama administration fixed it. That is not only a rank lie, because I don't think Gibbs is that stupid. He just can't. He can't be that stupid. Can he?
I don't know.
He can't be that stupid. Unless he was had his eyes closed to the whole thing. That it was broken, and suddenly within 8 months, it's fixed. So the surge didn't happen. The elections didn't happen in Iraq. There was no provisional government in place, no civilian government in place. They didn't get rid of none of that happened. Suddenly, Obama walked in and became president. And I like this president a lot. I think Obama, if he truly is the pragmatist that he says he is, he's probably embarrassed beyond words tonight that this dumbass Gibbs and the other Tweedledee and Tweedledum Biden, that these guys even opened their mouths today. But here you listen. Vice President Joe Biden has high hopes for the war in Iraq under an Obama administration.
I am very optimistic about Iraq. I think it's going to be one of the great achievements of this administration. You're going to see 90,000 American troops come marching home by the end of the summer. You're going to see a stable government in Iraq that is actually moving toward a representative government. I've been there 17 times now. I go about every 2 months, 3 months. I know every one of the major players in all the segments of that society.
Isn't that nice?
It's impressed me. I've been impressed how they have been deciding to use the political process rather than guns to settle their differences.
Right. You know, and isn't that amazing how that happens? And I went over and I saw they have a country, and there's a capital and stuff. Oh, really? Yeah. And I just, the Obama administration, So here's something else. People hate this. I'm going to say it anyway, maybe because I know they hate it. George Bush, the previous president, sits in Texas, keeping his own counsel. If he were Richard Nixon, he'd have written 6 books by now. He'd be out on the lecture circuit and on the speech circuit telling everybody what a pack of douchebags the press was and what a bunch of liars these cats in the Obama administration. He'd be out there just, you know, shouting from the highest rooftops how he'd been wronged. Bill Clinton might even have been out there, you know, defending himself. But George Bush, the one chance he had to comment on President Obama recently after the underwear bomber, and when the press asked him about the president's treatment of that situation, he said, "I'm not second-guessing the president. What he did was right." Now, this is a guy, George Bush, that has been slandered and maligned more than any other president that I can remember. And I've been alive through, you know, Truman, Eisenhower. You know, I came of age under the Johnson administration, Nixon and Carter and Reagan and Daddy Bush and Clinton and Bush Jr. And now this president. Okay, I've never seen a guy who's been ripped apart. I mean, by hypocrites and by people who are simply trying to score points than George Bush. But he kept his mouth shut. He'll keep his mouth shut to this one, too, even though here's this guy, Biden, who is the opportunist of the opportunists, saying that this is something that they're going to be very, very proud of. Man, the Iraq war and the government of Iraq, man, have we kicking ass. How about that, huh? He's banking on the fact the American people are so stupid and are so really focused on the moment-to-moment of American Idol that they won't remember last week, you know. Like, what happened yesterday? Wasn't there a snowstorm? I don't know. That's what he's banking on. All right, Doug Danger is ahead with the, I guess we had to do the most romantic songs, huh?
Yeah, I think so, man. You're getting all serious and everything.
Yeah, I'm getting, that's what I do, okay?
Hey, man, don't tell him. I'm just saying.
877, take it easy. 877-876-PHIL. Gibbs is a flustering douchebag. We'll hear more of that. I should play that audio. Sarah Palin is a rotten, devious racist, according to a Harvard professor. We'll tell you why. 877-876-PHIL.
Bill Hendrick. Famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up in a few minutes is Doug Danger with the top 10 most romantic songs of all time in anticipation of Valentine's weekend. One more piece of audio that must be played. It is Robert Gibbs at a press conference this morning. He's asked by a reporter about Vice President Biden's comments that the Iraq will be one of the greatest achievements of the Obama administration. An unbelievable statement to make. Biden will defend it to his death because he's an arrogant, egotistical guy who doesn't back down, winds up looking like an ass, doesn't care. And Biden's a revisionist. And I just told you, I mean, we told you when he picked this clown to be the vice president, I said, keep him on a short leash. And he didn't do that. The president learned, but he, you know. Here is Gibbs now, the press secretary for a president who rightfully has asked for bipartisanship, and he does nothing but a partisan pitch here on behalf of the Obama administration somehow fixing the Iraq situation, the Iraq war. the revisionism and the propagandizing by the left over the Iraq War, which they were comparing to the Vietnam War not too long ago, is record-breaking. But it isn't a surprise. All right, here is Gibbs, Robert, as in dumbass.
Vice President last night said that Iraq could end up being one of the president's great achievements. Mm-hmm. Given that the vice president was in favor of a partial partition of the country, and the president opposed the surge that helped stabilize it, how is that one of the president's great achievements?
Well, putting what was broken back together and getting our troops home, which we intend to do in August of this year.
But the status of the, well, again, the force agreement to bring troops home was signed before the president took office.
Something I think that the political pressure that the president, as a then candidate, helped to bring about.
So this douchebag doesn't want to give any credit at all to the previous administration. That's bipartisanship, baby. I love it. No credit at all, not for the surge. No, well, now hold on. It was broken. He just blew right by that one, didn't he? Well, President Obama opposed the surge. Well, what is broken, we fixed. What? What did you fix, man? The other thing that I just have to tell you, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but when you say this thing about bringing the troops home, I'm very happy to hear that. But they're beginning to repeat the message like they know that that is the hook in an advertising pitch. Like the advertising guys from Madison Avenue said, it keeps saying about the troops home, troops home, troops home. I don't hear anything in there about them being proud that we have won that war. Will you ever hear them say that? Which we did do. Because if we've lost the war, well, I guess we got to hang that one on President Obama now, don't we? Because I thought we fixed things over there. And so on and so forth, and so it goes. And I think that the president, if he does the right thing, will eventually, someday, somehow, pry the words, won the war, out of his mouth. And that way, you know, we can get that out of the way, all right? And maybe Biden will say he's really disappointed, and maybe Gibbs will get flustered and won't know what to say about that. But, hey, you know, you're the president, Mr. President, so just do what you need to do, man. If you fixed it, we won it. All right, calling Obama professor is Palin code for uppity. That's according to another professor, Harvard professor and longtime Obama pal Charles Ogletree, who tells education newspaper Inside Higher Ed that calling Obama the professor is close to labeling him uppity. Ogletree, founding and executive director of the Charles Hamilton Houston Institute for Race and Justice, says he sees the professor label as a thinly veiled attack on Obama's race. Calling Obama the professor walks dangerously close to labeling him uppity, a term with racial overtones that has surfaced in the political arena before. The idea is that he's not one of us, blah, 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 blah. Well, you get the idea, okay? And really, in point of fact, he may be right. Because I try to look at these things. There's a real subtlety to language, folks. I don't care what anybody tells you. There's a very, very, and there's a real subtlety to perception. And a black president is a new thing. And I don't care what anybody says, because I can see with my own eyes, I'm white, I've been around white people, and I know that Obama being president has brought out of a lot of white people, I won't call it racism, let's just call it a discomfort. It doesn't matter what anybody tells me. I happen to know that that's a fact. It's a discomfort. It is a, what do you want to call it? It's a little bit of a confused, albeit, curiosity. But nonetheless, that's afoot. So Palin may very well be calling him uppity. Palin, though, here's the problem. Palin's done. She's done. I was almost not going to do this story, but I thought, well, this is give me an opportunity to continue to say something that we started saying after the election. She's not going to get elected president. She won't get elected president of the Little League. She's not going to get elected. I don't know what she'll be elected to, but she's not a viable candidate for the presidency of the United States. We told you this months ago. We heard the Republican Party echo it. They said it would be a disaster, and it would be a complete and utter disaster. Sarah Palin hasn't got the guns, man. She does not have the ammo to go the distance. She's already skating on thin ice. She doesn't have a depth or a wealth of conversant knowledge when it comes to a conservative philosophy that is able to administer a country like the United States. She gets lost, man. She gets confused, all right? Now, maybe she's got, as they say, sort of like Reagan. Maybe she's setting a tone there. But she ain't Ronald Reagan by a country mile. So you Republicans, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I don't know what you're doing. I'm sure you're way smarter than me on this one, but take your thumb out of your ass and you better find somebody else. You know that, right? You know you do? Okay, good. All right, Doug Danger, she ain't it, man. Doug Danger next, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I think they got that.
Yeah, that's easy.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to bring on a good friend, Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. He's going to talk with us here. First of all, I've got this article here, Doug, on the... this is Billboard magazine, and their most romantic songs. They got 50 of them here.
The Billboard magazine top 50 list, they do that so they can fill space. What I try to do with my list... the most romantic songs is, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I understand people's emotional contact with music, I think, better than straight people. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, you are forced to analyze. You're forced to look at people a lot more with a lot more scrutiny because you can't really express who you are. When I was in the closet 3 weeks ago and came out, and I walked a very long, hard road. So in the closet, you see what people are out of the closet, you can't confront them and get the truth out of them. So when they tell me that Urgent by Foreigner is the 50th most romantic song in America, I don't know what they're talking about.
Well, look, can we get... I want to hear what yours are, but let me just give you... what the hell is the most... Here it is. The most romantic song of all time, Olivia Newton-John, Physical. Now let's take a look at this.
It's not a bad song, but that's got nothing to do with... When people are thinking romance, you know, I've got a sample of the best songs of all time.
All right, but let me just say, just in time for Valentine's Day, Billboard has ranked the 50 sexiest songs by popularity. Oh, sexiest songs, okay.
Well, it's got the same difference.
All right, and Barry White's didn't even make the list. Instead, it's Olivia Newton-John who is tops. This is Billboard magazine. Rounding out the top five, Billboard's list released is based on the popularity of songs from 1958 until early January of this year.
All right, so what they're doing is they're saying that these songs sold, but they're the ones that are picking out what is sexy. Now, I'll tell you something, Phil. For my money, I don't think that there's anybody working at Billboard right now who's qualified to talk about what's sexy or what is what's not sexy, because Billboard magazine... which is about ready to go out of business. I don't think they've got a staffer there under the age of 50.
Well, let's not talk about them going out of business.
Well, nobody reads Billboard magazine anymore. I don't think they got a staffer there that is, as I said, under the age of 50. I think most of the people who work there, the last time they
Well, I know this is you were going to get a job at Billboard and they didn't hire you, right?
I don't want to talk about it.
Because that's why you're ragging on Billboard.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right. Where are your songs?
I got them. Hold on.
Did I bring up something?
Well, I would rather you not talk about Billboard. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And I know by listening to you, you're rubbing it in. And
I'm not rubbing anything in. The story was Billboard magazine had 100...
I don't... care what Billboard's doing. As far as I'm concerned, Billboard magazine and everyone in the building that houses Billboard magazine, it can burn to the ground, it can have an airplane fly into it from Al-Qaeda. Doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care.
You don't care?
No, why would I care?
Because that's a pretty violent thing to have happen to Billboard magazine if you don't care.
I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me what happens to Billboard magazine. I had a chance for a job there. I didn't get it. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. You figure it out.
Do you think that it was discrimination?
Yes.
Oh, God. You know, I knew it.
All right, well, you asked me the question. Yes, I do. But now I wouldn't work there if they were hiring every queer from New York.
All right, will you watch your language, please?
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I don't care if you're a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't want to hear that. Now, you're following up this segment. I'd like to get to these songs, if you don't mind.
Oh, get a load of you. I'm following up. All right.
Just get to the segment, will you, Doug? We don't have to berate this over and over and over again about how you didn't get the gig at Billboard. You didn't get the gig at Billboard, man. Maybe they are homophobes. I don't know. Why should you care?
I told you I don't care. All right. The most sexiest song. See, I'm not even in the mood to do this now.
All right, well, let's just do it, okay?
Anyway, in my opinion, first of all, I think Billboard's list was made by somebody with missing a chromosome.
Uh-huh.
What's with the uh-huh?
Well,
I do. I think whoever made that list for Billboard magazine was born with ears that fold over, and they're missing a chromosome. Now, I've got the list here. Here is a song, Phil, that I think is emblematic of sex, romance, you name it. It's a great song, and it's a song that was done by Andrea True. Do you know the song that I'm talking about, Phil?
Andrea True. Yes, I do. It's from the 1970s.
Right. What is sexier than a porn star doing a hit record? And here it is. This is a song called More, More, More. Now, Andrea True was in the Bahamas, I think, filming some sex movie, and they toweled her off or whatever they do and got her over to the recording studio and said she cut this song. This is Andrea True. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Did I get that in?
Yes, you did.
Listen to this. This slut, and I shouldn't say slut, but this lady.
Let's just listen.
That just reeks.
But if you want to know how I really feel, just keep the cameras rolling. Keep the action going. Baby, you know.
She can't even sing, man. Listen.
Well, take me where you want to. Man, my heart you steal.
Oh, flat as hell.
Well, Doug, I think the novelty here was just the fact that she was a porn actress.
Yeah, that was a novelty, but I listen to her. You know, I can't even do it. More, more, more. It sucks.
Ooh.
Oh, Mike. You know, it's a funny thing. I was auditioning these last night in my office, and I've got my German Shepherd, Betsy, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as she starts going, ooh, God, the dog, I thought the dog was going to go through a window. Now she gets really flat here. Listen.
All right, we got a lot of songs to get through.
Take it easy, will you? I'm a gay man.
Take me where you want to. Man, the heart just feels.
Oh, I know the part you're talking about when they go into the music break.
Yeah, right here at the break, you'll hear her just go flat as hell. I mean, she sounds like Nancy Sinatra. Listen, right there.
It ain't bad, man. It ain't bad.
It ain't bad. It's terrible.
Then why would you pick this as one of the sexiest songs of all time?
Porn actress? Hello, anybody home? Porn actress.
All right, anyway, let's get out of that, man, because it does hurt my ears. No, it's a pretty good song. Doug Danger with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're doing the top, what Doug considers to be the sexiest songs of all time. All right, so what's next, Doug?
All right, this next one here, and wait till you hear the one that I've got. Get him to turn that off, because I can't listen to that, man. You know, I already, as you know, I'm gay, but I don't need to get even deeper into being gay. Listen to that. All right, now this next song here, I think we all know. Is there anybody that doesn't know this song? Phil? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Doug Danger. Phil? Is the host there?
Yeah, I'm right here. What?
Do you know this song?
I recognize it, yeah.
Well, this only happens to be one of the sexiest songs ever made. You don't know the song.
I know the melody. Da, 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 da.
I'm not asking you to sing it. I'm asking if you know it.
I've heard it in fashion shows.
You know, if you're trying to piss me off.
I'm not trying to piss you off. What is it?
The theme from A Man and a Woman.
Oh, Yep, 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 yep.
Are you kidding me? Listen. Man, I'll tell you, that's sex.
Well, I don't know, putting this on the... you know, generally when I think of a sexy song, it's something you're playing when you are sitting and being romantic and all that jazz.
Yeah.
I'm going to play a fiddle player?
That ain't a fiddle player, man. That's a violin. What do you mean fiddle player? Where are you from?
All right, okay. So I shouldn't say fiddle player, but...
All right, yeah, tell him to kill it. Tell him to kill it. You've already pissed me off enough.
Doug, I'm not trying to piss you off.
All right, never mind. Here's what's... All right, now this is a very sexy song. You talk about cuddling with someone. You talk about being with somebody, a nice, quiet, candlelit dinner. And the guitar player comes over. And you're sitting there with a girl or, you know, if you're gay man, gay journalist, or whatever you are. You're sitting there with a guy or a girl or, you know, or a girl guy or... I lost my place here.
All right, okay, I understand.
All right. Then, and here comes the guitar player, and you've ordered another bottle of wine. And you hear this. Huh? What do you think?
I think so. What?
What do you think?
I can't hear you. What did you say?
What do you think?
What?
This is fantastic scenery. I used to travel in the shadows. And the
I know the song. It's a good song.
But I tell you, it's a great song. Very romantic.
What's next?
Yeah.
What's next, man?
Well, what's next is, I thought you were, that's, okay, so that's the Smithereens. Then we move on to one here. This is one that I know everybody knows. The only problem with this song is that, well, I'll tell you what the problem with this song is. It's a deceptive song. Here it is.
Oh, I know this song.
Yeah, you would.
What is that supposed to mean, I would?
Well, it's kind of sissy, you know.
Oh, okay, all right. I didn't know that other sissy thing.
What sissy thing?
Man and a Woman or whatever the hell it was. I know this song. Is this,
Like to Get to Know You by Spanky and Our Gang. Very romantic.
Finally I found...
The only problem with this song is that the men in the group were gay and she was a lesbian. So...
One I thought was...
Why is that a problem?
It's a lie. You know, all the straight people are thinking, wow, they're one of us, and... It's just a lie. Now then...
All right, fine. We got to get to the number one song, huh?
Well, I don't really. I haven't really made up my mind what the number one song is, but I've got a few other most romantic songs of all time. Here's one that I think you're going to enjoy, Phil. And I really do think this is very romantic in its own way. It's a song that came out in 1983, and I think you know the one I'm telling you. Here it is, right here.
Give me a time.
It sounds like a chick, but it's not. You know what I mean?
What's romantic about this, man?
Well, it's like... Give me time to realize my crime and, you know. Oh, I'm so sorry. So because the guy's sort of androgynous, it gives you the creeps?
No, it doesn't give me the creeps. It just...
It gives you the... Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And I have devoted my life to looking at straight people and seeing what gives them the creeps. And I can tell you right now, that guy gives you the creeps. Turn that off, all right? Now, next one. I think you should like this one. I think everybody likes this one, particularly America today, because we have an African-American president, and if you don't like reggae, you better get on board. You better get straight and figure out which way the world's turning, you know? Bob Marley, Waiting in Vain for Your... That's it, love.
Okay, that's a pretty romantic song.
Oh, well, thank you.
Hey, Doug, dude, I'm not trying to second-guess you or anything, man, but you're coming up with some cornball like, I don't know, man. You know, a girl like you, romantic, I'm sitting on the couch, a great song, but the theme from A Man and a Woman and More, More, More by Andrea True.
You said you liked that.
I said it was novel. I don't know whether I like it or not.
All right. I don't know whether this is the song that I want to be the number one song, romantic song of all time, or if it's another one. This song was very romantic. More women got pregnant to this, and
will you get out of here with Sweet Pea?
What'd you do?
Get me to the number one song.
Do you know the number of babies that were born?
Get me the number one song, all right?
All right, here it is. Doug Danger picks the number one, so I don't even know which one I'm going to do. Oh, God help me. I think the number one song of, well, I just played it, man, a Sweet Pea. So sorry, but you're going to have to live with it. You're going to have to suck on this.
This is the number one most romantic song of all time.
I blew it. I'm sorry. I had my numbers reversed. I'm afraid you're just going to have to suck on it.
Okay, I heard you the first time, man. Who's this? Who is this ass?
Ass? That's Tommy Rowe. He's the same guy that did, I forget.
We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What, is that it?
Yeah, that's it, man. 877-876-PHIL, and we are going to have our stories that we couldn't get to.
Phil.
Spanky and our gang. Lesbian and gay guys. Time for the stories we can get to here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a few of them. Man stinks up Port Orchard Walmart thinking it's funny. A South Kilsip Walmart was evacuated on Sunday after a 51-year-old Belfair man, this is in Kitsap, Washington, allegedly dumped stink bomb liquid and sprayed super fart spray inside the store. South Kitsap Fire and Rescue crews were sent to the store at about 12:40 p.m. Sunday for a reported hazardous material incident. A man was reportedly throwing onto the floor a liquid that was creating a severe smell and causing headaches. The guy's 51. I bet you, was he fired by the company or something?
No, he's just having fun.
No, man, that's like either he's a freaking mental deficient or he got fired by the company. The man admitted dumping liquid on the floor that made people nauseated. He said there were more bottles of the liquid in his glove compartment. Deputies found bottles labeled stink bombs. The man said he did it because he thought it would be funny. I guess he is a mental deficient. In Destin, Florida, an Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office deputy responding to a report of broken windows at the Village Inn of Destin found a man whose speech was so slurred he couldn't be understood. The deputy was first called to the hotel on January the 31st at about 3:30. Hotel employees showed him several broken windows, and witnesses said they'd seen a white man hitting and kicking the windows. Another witness reported seeing a man swinging a garbage can at a window. The suspect was not there at the time. An hour later, the deputies were called back, and there he was with his slurred speech and his garbage can. All right. That's why FARC has something called the Florida file, you know. They have the Florida file because it's well. All right, anyway, Phil Hendry Show. Till tonight, tomorrow morning. Pleasant good morning from El Pacifico. Margaret?
Yes, I love this song.
You like this?
No, let me sing along to it, okay?
Go ahead.
Because I knew Andrea Truth.
Ow!
What?
Back off the phone, okay?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Who are you, Terry Melcher? Are you Richard Perry? Oh, I like, get the cameras rolling. Get the action going. Woo! Oh, God, there are days that I regret. There are just days that I regret that I didn't answer that ad in the newspaper. How do you like these How do you like them? How do you like them?
How do you like them?
You know what I'm talking about. How do you like them? Yeah, that's it. I've got it down. How do you like them?
Will you turn that crap down, please? Get her out of here.
Get the cameras rolling. I gotta hang up on you.
Baby, how dare you? My love for you is real. Take me where you
want to. Man, my heart just feels. Mama, get away from the phone. We'll be right back.
like
will you turn her off, please? Very. I don't think I do like it. I just don't like it. I don't like you, and I don't like it. And you know why? You're a very lovely girl, but hepatitis C, I can't use. All right, the Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, where you can see all live streaming video, live streaming audio, and stuff like that. Go there. Go, 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 go.
Phil Hendry.